More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, Faith at Home. Are you looking for ways to create a more faithful, joyful, loving family life? Let us help. 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, Faith at Home. We're looking for ways to help you create a more faithful, joyful, loving family life. Let us help. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
So are you experiencing challenges in your attempts to live your faith more meaningfully with your family at home? Are you not sure how to start praying as a couple or a family? Are your attempts to pray with your spouse or kids or to celebrate your faith at home in any way causing tension, arguments, resentments? Are you looking for ways to experience Christ more meaningfully at home? You know, research shows that children are unlikely to become faithful adults unless they experience the faith as the source of the warmth in their homes. Not sure what that means or how to make it happen? Well, give us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
You know, pretty regularly on More to Life, we get calls from listeners who will say, you know, Dr. Greg and Lisa, I did all the things. You know, we went to Mass every week. We sent our kids to Catholic school. They went to youth group. And our adult kids still fell away. What happened, and how, what can we do? And then, of course, we hear from other parents who have young kids still and, you know, kind of look around them and see how few kids grow up to be faithful Catholics, and they ask us, well, what can we do?
Or how to even do it in the midst of a very confusing, very not Christian world right now.
And the fact is, there are no silver bullets. There are no guarantees. But we recently commissioned a study through the Center for Applied Research of the Apostolate at Georgetown. It's a professional research organization that regularly does studies for the church and on church-related topics. And what we were looking at were families who successfully raised most, if not all, of their children to a faithful adulthood. And when we'd find that as kids, adult kids who were attending Mass weekly, at least on their own, or if they were married, then with their spouse and children as well. And we interviewed both the parents of those families and the adult kids to identify, you know, what was unique about those families and what did they do in terms of faith practices and in terms of their family dynamics. And what the study really showed was that Catholic education, you know, regular Mass attendance, youth group, youth ministry, those are all really important, especially the weekly Mass attendance, essential, right? But the ability for those things to stick in terms of, you know, our kids' own faithfulness.
Lifelong faith, real personalized faith.
Depends entirely on how much those kids felt like their faith was being, not just being lived at home, but that their faith was making a difference in the quality of the relationships in the home. That somehow the way the family prayed, the way the family lived their life, the way the family lived their faith in the home led to those families feeling closer to each other, getting along better. They weren't perfect. When they struggled, then they would struggle through their faith by praying through things together or talking things out. But they experienced their family life as something that was rooted in their faith, and that the faith was the source of the warmth in the home. And that's a real challenge, because as Catholic parents, we're not taught how to do that. You know, nobody's showing us what that means to live the faith at home. And so that's why, I think in large part, only about 15% of our kids grow up to be faithful Catholic adults. We can do better. And the research that I just referenced gives us a lot of practical insights into what we can do better to have a more meaningful home-based faith life, to have a more meaningful prayer life with our spouse and our kids.
And it sounds like a big project, but it's not to us. What it is a way to be able to help you even more in your particular family life. You could be saying, yeah, you know, my spouse and I aren't on the same page, or maybe we're not even living in the same house anymore. Our kids are so busy. How do we fit in anything with them? How do we even get close enough to get anything but an eye roll or groaning? Where do we even start? Or how do we make it better? What can we do for your particular family with your particular dynamic? That's what we're talking about today. And sometimes, let's all be honest, life is so busy. There's so much on our daily to-do list just to keep our heads above water that unfortunately, faith doesn't seem like the most important top-of-the-line thing on the to-do list. And sometimes it falls by the wayside. Sometimes we don't feel fed ourselves. So what is a parent or grandparent to do in the midst of all of this? Well, we're here to help you with your particular questions and needs today on More to Life. All you have to do is give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Today's show is titled Faith at Home, and if you're looking for ways to create a more faithful, joyful, loving marriage and family life, give us a call. The number again, 877-573-7825. If you're listening later to the More to Life podcast, you can also send us your questions to questions@moretoliferadio.com. That's with the number two, questions@moretoliferadio.com. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And if you're not sure what that is, well, I'm glad you asked. When St. John Paul was Pope, he spent about 5 years offering reflections on how we could live a more joyful and abundant life by prayerfully reflecting on God's design and creation, and especially of our bodies.
And you know, we all have a tendency sometimes, at least, to separate our home life from our spiritual life. Whether that's separating home from the things we do at church or keeping our spiritual lives more personal and private rather than sharing as a family. And prayer tends to be something that we tend to do, you know, on our own most of the time, or only when we go to church. But the theology of the body reminds us that spirituality has to be at the heart of everything we do, at the center of all of our relationships, especially our marriage and family life, because that's how we learn to listen to God and to love like Him. The family is meant to be a school of love and virtue, but that doesn't just happen by accident or by just teaching catechetical lessons. It only happens when we come together as a family and ask God to teach us to be the family He wants us to be. When we don't engage in regular couple or family prayer and create ways to invite Christ to be a meaningful part of our everyday family lives, well, we're actually missing out on 99% of the ways that God communicates His love and grace to us through the vocation of marriage and family life.
You know, ultimately, living our faith at home means treating God as if He was the most important member of our family. You know, taking time to talk to Him together as a family throughout the day, as if He was right there in the room with us, because you know what? He is. You know, asking Him to teach us how to love each other the way He wants us to, praising Him for the little blessings of the day, asking Him for help with the challenges that we face in parenting or as a family, as we try to take care of each other, you know, creating little rituals that allow the faith to be the source of the warmth in our home, and cultivating meaningful relational approaches to family spirituality, so that God's part of everything we do, and family life is a little way of holiness. You know, that sounds great on paper, but there are difficulties in making that happen. By all means, give us a call or 877-573-7825.
And you know, as we go through this Easter week and we move to Divine Mercy Sunday, it's does two things for us. It either can remind us of how much God loves us and really wants to be part of our everyday life. And if it's doing that for you, this is the time to grab hold of that grace and learn new and wonderful ways to bring Christ into your everyday life with your family, with your spouse. But it can also make us just feel like we've done the things. You know, oh, we all got to Easter Mass, we're fine. But the Easter Mass was there to give you the grace to live with him every single day, to have that Alleluia joy with your family every single day, even through the difficult times, and to build on what was happening in that time as a family at church. Or perhaps you're saying you had to go by yourself, or you wished your grandkids were there with you, and they're not. All of those things that you're thinking about as we talk about faith and family life today. Maybe you've got questions. Maybe you've got some pain. We're here to help you through it and to a much better place with your family and your faith life. Give us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Of course, we offer support to families every day on the Catholic Home app. That's spelled H-O-M. It stands for Households on Mission. You can download it today. Every day on Catholic Home, we offer tons of creative resources, videos, podcasts, and most importantly, our whole team of pastoral counselors and coaches is on there to answer your questions and hold your hand as you face parenting challenges, challenges about building a really faithful, loving, caring, connected Catholic family. So check it out. Download the Catholic Home app today. That's Catholic H-O-M. And get the resources and support you need to build a truly dynamic Catholic household on mission. Of course, we're taking your calls today on More to Life on our show titled Faith at Home, as we help you discover new ways to create a more faithful, joyful, loving family life. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you and we bring to you our marriages and our family lives, all of our children, and we ask you to help us build strong, loving, caring, connected, faithful domestic churches in our homes. Relationships that are really rooted in your love, families that consider you to be the most important member of our household, so that we can learn from you and how to be the families you want us to be, experiencing your love in the little ways we interact with each other every day, coming to you to ask for your help in overcoming those parenting challenges and marriage issues and other struggles that we face as couples and families, blessing you and praising you for the love that we do have and those moments of connection that we do celebrate. We ask you, Lord, to transform our homes so that our faith can be the source of the warmth in our homes and that we can lead our children to you through a strong relationship with you and each other. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and
in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
And Pope St. John Paul the Great.
Pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Faith at Home, as we are helping you look for ways to create a more faithful, joyful, loving family life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. And tell us, are you experiencing challenges in your attempts to live your faith more meaningfully at home? Are you not sure how to start praying as a couple or as a family? Or maybe your attempts to pray or live your faith with your spouse or kids is getting pushback and creating tension, arguments, or resentment. Are you looking for ways to experience Christ more meaningfully at home? We are here for you. 877-573-7825.
Well, Greg, we have a message here from Jim, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Michigan on Ave Maria Radio. And he said, I'm becoming more and more enlivened by my faith, and I really want my marriage to be holier and for my wife and I to share the faith. but she won't talk with me about it because she says the history of the Catholic clerical abuse makes her furious, and she doesn't want to look like she condones it by going to church. She was not a victim of this, and no one she knows was, but she says that it's wrong to not stand up for other victims. Is there a way to get past this with her and actually encourage her in the faith that means so much to me and continues to grow more in my heart? And that's Jim in Michigan.
Jim, thanks so much for the question. And certainly this is an issue that has been very prominent over the last several years in particular. And we hear it more and more. And I certainly do sympathize with your wife's concerns that we do need to stand up for the victims, and we do need to acknowledge the evil that was done. We don't do that, though, by depriving ourselves of a relationship with God. And I would try to reframe this, if I were you, as a respect issue. And here's what I mean by that. That when we respect somebody, we try to see the truth and the goodness and the beauty in the things they find true, good, and beautiful. And your wife is reducing your faith to somehow, believing you as being an enabler of abuse. And that's really disrespectful. And I would go to her and I would say, look, I understand where you're coming from. And I agree with you that this was horrible and we can't stand for this. But I feel like you're reducing me and my faith to something that you see as enabling. And it's not that at all. I'm asking you to have enough respect for me to see that what's drawing me to this is something beautiful and something real, something that I would like to share with you. And just like we share lots of other things, and I'm hoping this is true for your marriage, that in other parts of your relationship, you're willing to accept influence from each other, and that you're willing to try to see the truth and the goodness and the beauty and the things that each of you finds true, good, and beautiful. And I hope that you can appeal to those things when you say to her, just like when you came to me and asked me to appreciate this, and that was something that I wasn't particularly fond of or didn't, come to naturally, but because I loved you, I wanted to learn more about it. I'm asking you to try and see what's good about this for me, and not to just write it off as me enabling the church or enabling the abuse or whatever. And let's talk about what you could share. Now, if it is true that in the rest of your relationship, you guys don't do a good job of accepting influence from each other, of respecting each other enough to try to see the truth and the goodness and the beauty and the things that each of you finds true, good, or beautiful, then there's a failure of deeper failure of respect in the whole relationship, which would probably warrant some marital counseling. Because what that means then is that each of you kind of has your own way of looking at things and is too rigid to learn from each other and grow together, and not just in this area, but in any area.
The other thing that I'd really like to encourage you in, Jim, is ultimately, yes, you want her to be going to Mass with you, to be receiving the Eucharist with you, to be experiencing the sacraments with you. But if she's got an issue around this particular, clerical abuse issue, that shouldn't stop her from trying to experience prayer with you in your home, where she is safe, where there is none of the church stuff present. Just to be able to start praying with her and every day, spend a few minutes when you wake up in the morning out loud saying, Lord, help me to be the best husband I can possibly be to my wife today. Help me to be able to meet the needs that she has and let her know how loved she is by me and by you. Throughout the day, if she's going through something, out loud, lifting her up in prayer and just saying, Lord, really just be with her. Help her to find the solution to this. Asking her, as you've done this over a few weeks, to begin praying with you. Not big formal stuff, but about your life. Everything about your romantic life, to your monetary life, to your schedules, to just who you are as a couple. Begin to encourage her to have her own personal relationship with God and let it draw the two of you closer together and let Christ move through that to where he wants her to be.
For more suggestions on this, I'd encourage you to turn to our book, Praying For and With Your Spouse, The Way to Deeper Love. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. But it's a book that really looks at how we can integrate our prayer life and Christ into every part of our marriage. Check it out. Praying For and With Your Spouse, The Way to Deeper Love, available at CatholicCounselors.com. Well, we have to go to break, but when we come back, we're continuing to talk with you about faith at home. Are you looking for ways to create a more faithful, joyful, loving family life. Let us help. 877-573-7825. In addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Anastasia Northrup. She is an expert on the theology of the body and the founder of the National Catholic Singles Conference. She'll be sharing some insights from her own family life and the theology of the body on living faith at home. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues in a minute.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Have you ever been so grief-stricken and so heart-sick that you can't see God? You can't see God in the tragedy. You can't see God in that cross. You can't see God in that sick. Why? You're enveloped in that grief. You're enveloped in fear. And God is out the window. You don't see Him standing right next to you.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling. 40 years of experience. 17,000 current students. Pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plan, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Pretty much everything. My wife and I use Seton. Some of our children. Tell you this. Two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT. Over 30% higher on English and reading on the ACT. It's a rigorous program. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. That is SetonHome.org.
Cresta in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Thank you for joining us on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck. Today our show is titled Faith at Home. Are you looking for ways to create a more faithful, joyful, loving family life? Let us help. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Anastasia Northrup. She is an expert on the theology of the body and the founder of the National Catholic Singles Conference at nationalcatholicsingles.com. Anastasia, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you so much, Dr. Greg. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. And you wanted to share some insights both from your own family life and from the theology of the body on why it's so important to integrate our faith into our family life.
Yeah, well, I love what you were saying earlier about the study that that you guys did. And that's been my own experience because, as I think I mentioned on your show before, being the oldest of nine kids and having all of them who are still active in the faith and never left, I've reflected myself, like, how did my parents manage to do that? And when I look at it, I see that, you know, my folks had their own deep relationship with God, and it wasn't just something that we did on Sundays, but I could see that they actually knew Him, Christ, personally, and that overflowed into what we did in the home and in the prayer. And instead of just being like, okay, well, let's pray the rosary, you know, sometimes it was like, okay, well, let's listen to, or let's read Scripture, and what is God saying to us in the Scripture? And really the aspect of love came across. And, you know, in theology of the body, it's all about the love relationship, that the communion of persons and giving and receiving. And that's what was modeled for us. And I could see that in their relationship with God. And they both, you know, had their own, like, distinct way of their prayer life and things like that. It was different, but it was complementary. And it was visible to us and in their own relationship with each other, too. So, and, you know, sometimes, as you were saying earlier, it's not, not all couples have that same dynamic, but I would say if you're a parent and you feel like you don't really know Christ in a personal way and it's just kind of more a head thing, like, say, ask God. Say, God, please show me your love for me. Let me experience that in a powerful way so that I know that in a deeper way and I can convey that to my children and our family life.
You know, and I like what you're saying. I mean, what you're talking about, you know, we often kind of describe the distinction between prayer, especially marriage and family prayer, versus saying words at God. And, you know, you mentioned the family rosary, for example. I mean, you can say a family rosary in a meaningful way, like your family was doing with Scripture, where you reflect on a mystery together and kind of talk about what is God saying to us through that mystery. Or we could barrel through that rosary and say, oh, check the box, we did it.
Mm-hmm.
And those two experiences of prayer are going to be very, very different things. And so what you're really speaking to is that more relational approach to prayer, however we pray as a family, so that we're not just saying words at God, but we're actually encountering the real person of Christ who's teaching us how to love each other the way he loves each other in our homes every day.
Exactly. Oh, and for the record, I'm all for the rosary. I'm just... It's just...
Amen to that.
Sometimes it can be more rote, you know, instead of just like, yeah, how is God speaking to us? And he loves us. And, you know, or even pointing out little things like everything in creation is an I love you from Jesus. So you have little kids, you know, hey, look at that grass and the sun and the sky. Like, those are all an I love you from Jesus. Little things like that, yeah. I think, can help people see Jesus in a more personal way, relational way.
And it's really beautiful, and it's remarkable when you share that, you know, you're a family of 9 children, and all of your siblings are faithful adult Catholics, too. I mean, that's really remarkable when you think that only 15% of kids raised in Catholic households grow up to be faithful Catholic adults. It's pretty remarkable to be able to say, you know, to look at a family like yours and say, you know, it's possible. It really is possible.
I can do this. If God can help me make this happen. It's a wonderful testimony.
Yes. Definitely great.
Well, thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing. Well, of course. And then thank you for sharing your experience, and thank you for sharing your insights on this. And if folks would like to learn more about your good work, I encourage them to turn to nationalcatholicsingles.com, where you really help Catholic singles learn to live the love that God has for all of us through the theology of the body and in our Christian walk with him. Check it out, nationalcatholicsingles.com. And folks, we're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825 about living your faith meaningfully at home and overcoming the challenges you might be encountering as you're trying to do that. 877-573-7825. Back with your questions right after this.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
Do you know what your diocese, what your church, what your parish is doing to help families in need? Women who feel they're in a desperate situation and for whatever reason, God forbid, may consider abortion. This is not difficult. The information is out there. We have to become more aware, and we have to be willing to not only know about what's available, but to do something about the issues. It's not just up to, quote unquote, the church. We're all part of the church, and we're all called to put our faith into action, or else we will be guilty of having a dead faith, as St. James reminds us. So first things, be aware, and then be willing to do something.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
The Catholic Catechism tells us that an evil end can corrupt an objectively good act. Our Lord pointed this out when he spoke of Pharisees praying and fasting, both objectively good acts, in order to be seen by men, a morally corrupt end, which therefore corrupts all the actions. On the other hand, a good intention cannot justify an objectively evil action. One cannot turn fornication, a morally evil action in and of itself, by participating in it, even to save a life. Fornication is always wrong because it involves a disorder of the will, a moral evil. It is an error, the Catholic Catechism tells us, therefore, to judge an act merely by considering the intention that inspired it or the circumstances such as social pressure or emergency. The end never justifies the means. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. Our children don't belong to us. They belong to God. God gives his earthly children earthly parents because he wants them to be able to feel his love through your body and see his face in your eyes. Christian moms and dads are meant to be the face of God to our kids. That's a beautiful thought, but it can be a little intimidating. Don't worry. God wants to parent with you, and he gives us his grace to raise his kids well.
That said, this mindset requires us to be open to parenting differently than how we were raised or what comes naturally to us. No matter how good your parents were, they weren't as perfect as our Heavenly Father is. And no matter how well we turned out, we aren't saints. Yet, every day, ask God to help you be the parent He wants you to be. Ask Him to give you the grace to love generously, correct gently, and let your kids know that you delight in the gift they are to you. Pray that God will help you be the parent He's calling you to be and enable you to bring out the best in your kids. To learn more, check out our book, Parenting Your Kids with Grace, or visit CatholicHOM.com.
Back, folks. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today our show is titled Faith at Home. Are you experiencing challenges in your attempts to live your faith more meaningfully at home? You know, maybe you're not sure how to even start praying as a couple or a family. Maybe your attempts to pray with your spouse or kids or celebrate your faith at home in some way is causing tension or arguments or resentment. Maybe you're looking for ways to experience Christ more meaningfully at home. We want to help you do all that and more today on More to Life. The number is 877-573-7825.
Or perhaps, you know, maybe you're not getting the support you need to be able to give your family the faith experiences you really want them to have. Did something go wrong with the extended family over Easter dinner? Were there arguments? Were there eye rolls if you tried to pray? Was there an issue that's making you feel like you're trying to pass on the faith to your family and live it as a family in a vacuum, and you're not quite sure how to handle all those extended family members that are making it extra rough on you? We're here for all of those questions today on More to Life at 877-573-7825.
By the way, that goes for you if you're a brand new Catholic who came into the church over this Easter, this past Easter. We welcome you, and if you're returning to the faith, welcome home. If you'd like to learn how to share that faith with your spouse and your kids especially, let's talk about that too, especially for all those new folks who have just come into the church recently. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Christine, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Illinois.
Hi, Christine. Welcome to More to Life. What's up?
Hi. I just want to say here, we're on speaker now. I just want to say that it's not only the parents' fault, but they were taught in the schools to do it by yourself. Now, how is somebody going to do it by yourself at first when there's nobody to direct you or show you how? That was stupid.
No, you're not wrong. I mean, not to put too fine a point on it, but yeah, no. Well, and that's, I think, you know, the Second Vatican Council proclaimed what they called the universal call to holiness, which was a great insight. What it means is, you know, hey, it's not, holiness isn't just for priests and religious, it's for everybody, right? But then we kind of stumbled after that in terms of actually teaching the laity how to have a meaningful spiritual life. And most of what we think of as Catholic spirituality is drawn more from the monastic tradition. Now, and you know, it focuses on silence and asceticism and those sorts of things, which can be beautiful. And that's not to say that lay people can't enjoy those things or benefit from those things. We certainly can. But spirituality in the lay experience, especially in marriage and family life, is different. It just has to be different than spirituality in the monastic tradition. And the church hasn't done a great job in communicating what that looks like. We're starting to see that framework come together in what we call the Liturgy of Domestic Church Life, which is a series of practices that any family can do to draw closer to God and to each other. And we actually talk about this a lot at CatholicHOM.com, so you can check it out. But yes, you're right, Christine. I think however we pray, we as families need to get over the idea that prayer just should be a very private thing. It's always personal, but it's never private. When we pray, we're never less alone, right? Because we are praying with all the angels and the saints at the same time. And the Holy Spirit is praying with us. And so prayer, by its very nature, is a communal experience. And so it makes perfect sense to pray as a couple and pray as a family. And so that prayer is certainly personal, but it's not private in that sense where we just shut ourselves off. And so I appreciate your encouragement that families should get past that idea that, that prayer has to be just a solo activity, that it really is, and the Catechism says as much, the prayer is always communal. Yeah. It always draws us closer to God and to each other. And so marriage and family life needs to be rooted in that sense of prayer. And even if it's just a simple prayer of waking up every morning and praying as a couple, Lord, you know, help me be the husband that you want me to be and help me to love my wife the way you want me to love my wife. And praying as a family, Lord, help us be the family you want us to be and teach us how to take care of each other and be a good team and help each other grow in your love for each other.
And as Anastasia Northrup was saying, finding those times where God shows up throughout the day and pointing it out to our family and being able to just say very simply, God, thank you for the gift of the beauty you've created or this blessing you've given us or this deliverance that you've given us from a difficult situation. To be able to tune that together, and I think so many of us think that prayer is only holy if it looks like one of the old religious movies from the 1940s, you know, very stoic, very quiet, very alone, and in a church. You know, religious communities pray together, discuss problems and pray about problems as a religious community, deal with each other's stuff as a religious community. Well, that's what families are called to be, our own personal religious communities that share the existence of God in our family as the most important member of our family every day in simple ways that lead us to deeper forms of prayer as we all grow older in the faith.
Well, and that's why the church calls families domestic churches, because families are church too, not just the parish church. And in fact, the parish church exists to support and form domestic churches that carry God's grace out into the world. So, Christine, great point, and I want to thank you for your comment today. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. By the way, we do talk a lot about how to really come together in a common, beautiful family spirituality on CatholicHOM.com. So please check it out. With that, let's go to our next question from Susan.
That's right. We're talking now with Susan, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi, Susan. Welcome to More to Life. What's your question for us?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My question is that my son is, he's 18. He's finishing up his two-year confirmation commitment. And my question is that I feel once he finishes it, I think he feels like his commitment to go to church and he's, you know, he believes in Jesus Christ. We're religious. But I feel like he's very selfish with his time and Sundays is like, when is this going to, like, when do I graduate? And I don't know after he makes a confirmation, you know, at 18, I can't force him. I'm going to strongly encourage him, but I feel that he's not going to want to go to church and maybe once every month. So I'm kind of struggling.
So Susan, talk to me about what this is like, because I'm getting the sense that he's going through this 2-year confirmation commitment because you as a family said, you got to do this. And what's going on in the family in terms of your prayer life together, in terms of the kinds of things that you heard us talking about with Anastasia, where she, you know, was saying, you know, her family would acknowledge, you know, the beautiful flowers that God created or the sunset. Do you have a spiritual conversation going on in your home? Are you praying about what's important to your son with your son? Is any of that happening in your home, or is it just go to class like he would go to algebra class?
You know what, and I do apologize. I listened to it, but bits and pieces. But what I heard, I was very impressed, and I was thinking I need to do that more. Okay. So, you know, maybe we are lacking, you know, I'm continually every day we do, you know, discuss Jesus, but we don't do the, rosary as a family. Our kind of family time is Sunday church. And I guess, honestly, maybe it's been lacking. And okay. I haven't read him with it.
Okay. No, that's fine. So what, you know, the program, you know, just to kind of recap some of the points that we were making here. We did a study through the Center for Applied Research and the Apostolate at Georgetown. They're a professional organization that does research for the church and church-related topics. And what we were looking at was, you know, kind of the dismal rate of success that Catholic families have in raising faithful kids. Only about 15% of our kids who are raised in Catholic homes grow up to be faithful Catholic adults. So we wanted to look at the other extreme. We wanted to look at families that successfully raised all of their kids to a faithful adulthood, which wasn't easy to find, but we did find quite a few. And we interviewed both the parents and the adult kids to say, okay, what do you guys think were the factors in both the way you guys lived your faith and also your family dynamics that enabled you to successfully raise all of your kids to a faithful adulthood? And I want to be clear here, these are not magic bullets, these are not guarantees, but they do certainly stack the deck in our favor.
And I'm sure that as Greg is talking about this and you're hearing how these parents raise their children, you're thinking, then it's too late for me. My son's 18 years old. I can promise you it is absolutely not too late. He is still your son. You can still disciple him for years. You can still really begin to walk alongside him in all of the things in his life that matter to him, that are concerning to him, that he rejoices in, and begin to really come alongside of him and acknowledge that God is there too and walk with him in this rather than hoping that a set of classes will just stick.
So what the research found was that even though, you know, things like weekly mass attendance, absolutely essential, Catholic education, youth ministry, all important, okay? Those things only stuck to the degree that families were living their faith at home, number one, and two, that the kids found the faith as a source of the warmth in the home. So there was something about the way these families prayed together, talked about God, shared their experience in the light of their faith that drew them closer to each other and helped build up their relationships in the home. And the degree to which families could say they did that, that was the degree to which it was more likely that their kids would actually own their faith as adults.
And so when we're talking about this, Susan, in terms of your son being a young man now and making these sacramental moments, this isn't about sticking more formal prayer forms onto your family life.
Or requiring him to do more things.
Exactly. This is about talking with him more, being closer to each other, getting some time together to just have fun together at times. When he comes home from class, really finding out, did anything touch you? Did anything make you angry? Was anything confusing? Not being afraid to ask questions like that, to just have a conversation over dinner or, you know, while you're cleaning up the dishes.
What does
night.
What you're learning, you know, mean to you about the way you're living your life or the choices that you're making as a young man, right? You know, talking about your own experience of faith, the answered prayers, the way God's shown up for you in the course of the day, and sharing that and asking those kinds of questions of him too.
And when he's going through his life and his day, you know, you want to make sure that even at 18, and our 18-year-olds are so darned busy these days that sometimes you feel like you don't see him for a week at a time. But when you do see him, really saying, hey, you know, what's going on in your life today? You know, what was good? What's really rough right now? And when you get that from him, you know, remembering it, and even before he goes to sleep at night or before he goes to school, just giving him a blessing and saying, Lord, you know, I know my son is really concerned about this thing in school today. Please be with him. Please give him the grace to get through it. Please let him know your love in the midst of this. Please let him know that we love him and we're praying for him. Lord, thank you so much for this great thing that happened to him, that relationship that's going well, that test that went well. You need to make his real life be something that he knows matters to you, that the relationship at 18 isn't about to end. It's not all just about the rules and regulations in the family, but that you are somebody who loves him so much, and so is God, and you're always going to be there for him to get him through the good times and the bad times. And so is God, and just bringing that together. That's really going to be what you want to focus on now, not just, oh my gosh, he's about to be 18, and that means I have no effect on him anymore.
I want to go back to his question about when do I get to graduate. Your answer needs to be, well, son, when you're dead. Because the reason you're doing this is because none of us know how, well, all of us have love in our hearts, and we want to be loving and be loved. All of us want to have a fulfilling life. And none of us know how to do any of those things. The reason you're doing all this is because you're acknowledging that you haven't got the first clue any more than I do about what it means to love a person in a way that's really loving, certainly to love them in the way God wants us to, how to live a life that's truly fulfilling, especially the way God wants us to. And that's what this is all about. This is not about completing this so that you can get the graduation certificate of the sacramental day. It's about making a commitment to say, I don't know how to live. I don't know how to be happy. I don't know how to be loving. I need God to teach me all those things. And I'm going to spend the rest of my life learning how to do that. And that's what this is. That's what these classes are really all about. So you graduate when you're dead, because that's how long it's going to take all of us to figure those questions out. But thanks be to God, we have a place to turn to get those answers. And that's what this is all really about. In terms of, you know, when you say I can't force him to go whenever he turns 18, yes, you can, but it's not about that. First of all, I want to say that, I mean, just because somebody turns 18 doesn't mean that they magically become completely emancipated. You're a family. You do the things that your family does, and you can require him to do those things. And in fact, I encourage you to do that, because, but don't stop there. Okay. You know, the reason I encourage parents to require their adult children to go to church is because you don't work out a relationship by not letting somebody opt out of the relationship.
Well, exactly. You know, I think what we get hung up on, especially with our faith, is that we've heard the word Sunday obligation or holy day of obligation. That doesn't mean you get yourself there because it's a rule and then you leave and you're done. What the church means by that is to have the bare minimal relationship with God and with the church. We've got to show up. We've got to have that Sunday dinner. We've got to have that relationship. And we need to encourage our kids to continue to have that relationship with us and with God on a daily
basis. So you certainly can insist that he go, and you can certainly require him to go, and you certainly can make him go because he's still dependent on you, even though he turns the magical adult age, quote unquote. So, and I would encourage you to do that and have that attitude. But don't stop there, because just making him go isn't actually getting him to work on the relationship. All the other stuff we're talking about will enable you to teach him how to work on that relationship. If you're looking for additional resources on how to do all this, especially in the time that you have, our book, Discovering God Together, The Catholic Guide to Raising Faithful Kids, is a great resource. We talk about the different stages of faith development and how to make sure that your kids are getting the spiritual food they need at each stage to have a vibrant faith life.
Even at 18, when you think they're all grown up.
You can check that out. Again, the book is Discovering God Together, The Catholic Guide to Raising Faithful Kids. But if you would like more personalized support, then check out the Catholic Home app. That's Catholic H-O-M. You can download it, and we provide tons of resources and a lot of personal accompaniment, where you can ask questions of our pastoral counselors and coaches on there every day to really guide you in creating a more loving, faithful, caring Catholic family life. Susan, thank you so much for the question. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here, pick up the book, or download the Catholic HOM app today. All right, with that, we've got to go to break, but it's time for our scripture of the day before we head out, and that comes to us from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 7.
You shall love the Lord your God with your whole heart and with your whole being and with your whole strength. Take to heart these words which I command you today. Keep repeating them to your children. Recite them when you are at home and when you are away and when you lie down and when you get up. And, you know, this scripture can sound like you should just be quoting scripture or the catechism to your kids all the time. No, what it's really talking about is what we've been saying here, living the faith throughout the day in your life, acknowledging that God is in our presence, in our family life, in our daily life, all day, every day, pointing out those times, taking moments of short prayer to ask God for help or to praise him for something that's going on or that he's made himself obvious about, and letting your family know this all the time. That's going to make all those bigger things like weekly mass and all of the sacraments and all the sacraments of initiation that your children go through mean something and become a lifelong part of their lives.
All right, we got to go to break, but when we come back, we're continuing to take your calls on our show titled Faith at Home. Are you looking for ways to create a more faithful, joyful, loving family life? Are you, you know, hearing some of the things we're talking about and saying, I'm not even sure where to start, or how to overcome the resistance that I'm getting from my spouse or my kids? Well, let's talk about all that and more today on More to Life. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. If you're listening later on to the More to Life podcast, you can send us your questions via email. That address, questions@moretoliferadio.com. We'll be back with more of your calls and questions coming up right after the break.
I worked in pro baseball for a long time, and we play on Sundays. And it was an easy excuse. I took the easy out and just didn't go to Mass. Got caught up on that whole selfishness, that whole You know, I can do it all. The times when I was struggling were the times I needed God the most. And now that I've come back and accepted God, my world is completely changed.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for any reason, visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
Are you longing to hear God's voice? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking, and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is Faith at Home, as we talk about ways to create a more faithful, joyful, loving family life. 877-573-7825.
Greg, we got a message here from Patrick, who's listening and has a question about what to tell his six children. He said, I'm struggling with the words to tell my six children about their cousin, who just told all the adults in the family that she's having a baby and will be getting married next month. Can you help me? Well, first of all, Patrick, I wish you had told us the age of the kids, because that definitely matters. If you're talking about very small children, you may not have to say anything at all. She will get married, she will have a baby, and they don't have to know the context of it, so you don't have to make a big deal out of it. If you're talking about older young adult children, later teen children, then we can kind of break down how to handle that.
And the thing to say in this situation is, you know, we welcome children however they come into the world. Every child is God's gift to us, and we celebrate the life of every child. The reason that we teach that marriage is essential before having children is because marriage is the only way to guarantee that children will have the right to be claimed by their mother and father and be raised by their mother and father. Children who are born in any other situation run a much higher risk of not having a mom or a dad. And that's really sad, because every child is a gift and deserves to be given the best that we can give them. And so when we have children outside of marriage, we potentially deprive them of the things that they need to grow up to be healthy, whole, holy people.
Secure, feeling like they're loved by both parents and that they're well taken care of by both parents.
Now, a lot of people don't know that, and so people are doing the best that they know how to do. And so we pray for them, and we try to lead by example, and we welcome their children and celebrate the life of those children as we encourage and support them to give the best to their kids, too.
And to let them know, you know, that this is not optimal. This is going to make it rougher on both their cousin, who's the mom, and the dad and the baby, just because it is what it is. But as you as a family are going to love this baby, you're going to rejoice with this family, you're going to be, you know, happy for this young woman when she gets married and when she gives birth to this child, and that's what God's calling us to do, and that's what you're going to do as a family.
And as far as your own children are concerned,
you pray that they will make the choice to give the best to their children
and to themselves and to
get married before they have children, because that's what we owe to our kids.
And to save the gift of their sexuality for marriage, not before.
We talk more about how to address all of these questions in our book, Beyond the Birds and the Bees, Raising Sexually Whole and Holy Kids. It's such an important book, especially in today's times. You can check it out at CatholicCounselors.com. And again, the name of that book, Beyond the Birds and the Bees, Raising Sexually Whole and Holy Kids. And if you'd like more support in leading a more faithful, loving, caring Catholic family life, then check out all the resources we have for you at CatholicCounselors.com, or go to CatholicHOM.com and download the Catholic HOM app to get all the creative resources and personalized support you need to build a more loving, caring, connected Catholic household on mission. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Get out there and celebrate the life God has for you, because there's so much more to life.
To More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.